Picasso once said, "Art is a lie that makes us realize the truth." That perhaps is why, in troubled times, artists sometimes disguise their commentary. A great work of art can deliver a stronger message than a politician. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg took a brief recess from the Supreme Court to report on an opera with political and legal overtones.
Artists, composers, writers, and dramatists write about the times they live in, and if they're lucky or prescient, their work, interpreted by other artists, has a new meaning in a new era. And so it was that in a darkened theater in Washington recently, a 200-year-old opera classic came alive as provocative, relevant to our times, and even disturbing. Fidelio is the only opera Beethoven wrote. On paper, the plot is pretty silly. The story centers on Leonora, a woman who disguises herself as a man so she can get a job in a prison where her husband is being held by his arch-political enemy, Pizarro. The opera debuted in 1802 and a revised version premiered in 1814 to public acclaim. This was the period of Napoleon's rise and reign. Beethoven, an ardent believer in human rights, at first embraced Napoleon, but then disdained him. He dedicated his Eroica symphony to the French leader, but later became infuriated with how power had corrupted the self-proclaimed emperor, and Beethoven undedicated the symphony. If Fidelio's plot is superficially unrealistic, its themes of political imprisonment and repression are timeless. Hitler hated the opera, and when it was performed in Europe after World War II, audiences wept openly. In Washington this spring, audiences greeted performances of the work with more introspection than emotion. Directed by Francesca Zambello, the Washington Opera production is set in modern times. Is it cast as a commentary about civil liberties in the aftermath of September 11th or the Afghanistan War? Or is it cast as a commentary about repression in Saddam Hussein's Iraq? It's not clear where or when the story takes place. The soldiers wear 1920s Russian overcoats, but their slacks are Israeli, and the villain, Pizarro, wears a uniform reminiscent of the Gestapo. Francesca Zambello.
When the designers and myself began to visualize the work, war was looming on the horizon, certainly with Iraq. The situation in the Middle East is ongoing. The situation in Chechnya was very much in our minds, and all of the 20th century was behind us. And so a work that is really about a political prisoner, we had many examples to draw on.
On stage are all the accoutrements of war and sometimes oppression, dogs, TV screens, and AK-47 rifles.
They are made out of rubber, which right now, of course, is a very touchy thing in Washington. One of the extras accidentally went outside with his rifle and was immediately stopped and cuffed by the police until they discovered that it was a rubber rifle.
The opera begins with its famous overture, the last of four Beethoven wrote for his musical drama. In Zambello's production, a political demonstration led by Leonora and her husband Florestan is brutally broken up by club-wielding police who haul away Florestan and other demonstrators, leaving Leonora beaten on the ground. The scene switches to the prison. The prisoners who are hauled onto the stage at points are wearing hoods, very much like the hoods we see in Guantanamo or in Afghanistan.
That's totally on purpose. There is a very palpable, frightening sense when you see people dragged in and being strip searched. Again, we have to ask ourselves, who is in the right here? I mean, we think that they're the enemy, but is what we're doing any better for them?
At the end of the first act, Leonora persuades her boss to let the prisoners out of their cells to see the sunlight.
Beethoven has a beautiful apex musically where it all comes together and where you just hear them, they sing on the word freedom, Freiheit, Freiheit, Freiheit. And they join together in a way that you believe that these men ultimately will be free. The end of this is the end of the first act. where the guards rip the books out of the hands and shove them back into their cells, and the last image is the floor is covered with books. And of course I did that so that the audience would again think about it's not just the human freedom, but it's freedom of ideas.
Leonora's husband Florestan was once a member of the government himself. Now the villainous Pizarro orders him killed because Florestan, quote, conspired against the state.
That's one that immediately resonates with people. Pizarro had started out at the same place, and he went in his own direction. You know, that's why it's really a personal piece as well about these two different sides of a coin, Pizarro and Florestan, and one who becomes a cause for good and one who remains evil.
So do we really know which one is good and which one is evil? Francesca Zambello blurs the answer when the good leader arrives to save the day.
I had him arrive with all the same police force, the same dog unit.
In fact, the Liberator looks pretty much like Pizarro looks.
Well, exactly. That was on purpose, of course. And their clothes were very, very similar, except for color, and their haircuts the same, so that you would have a sense that it was just a transition, but one that would actually stay the same.
Unlike most operas, Fidelio has a happy ending.
The final image of the production is all these prisoners are freed, and people are finding their partners and families and regrouping, and it's a very joyous bit of music, very similar to the Ode to Joy.
In Zambello's production, though, not everything is joyous.
I have to say that from this vantage point of where we are in time, you have to look at those kinds of celebratory moments with a question mark. And so I left on stage two women who did not find their husbands, and a child who had lost, I think, both of his parents.
Beethoven had hoped to write more operas and even contemplated an opera he called tentatively The Arrival of the Pennsylvanians in America. He, like many of the European artists of his time, was captivated by the American ideals embodied in the new democracy across the sea. Alas, though, no one ever commissioned the American opera or any other. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.